Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we take your questions, the really thought-provoking ones, and try to connect some dots. This week, we're digging into insights from a recent weekly briefing. It covers global events, but also, interestingly, personal transformation.
That's right.
And we've got some great questions from you all, so we're pretty eager to unpack them, look at the material, and try to grasp these shifts happening around us.
Absolutely. And this collection of sources, it really gives a unique perspective on current changes, you know, whether they're geopolitical, financial.
Even energetic, as you mentioned.
Exactly. Yeah. Energetic, too. So the aim today is really to help you gain clarity, maybe a deeper feel for what's unfolding, hopefully give some perspective for navigating these, well, dynamic times.
Sounds good.
We'll jump into five key questions, all submitted by listeners, that kind of reveal this fascinating pattern of change.
Okay, let's get started. First up, a listener from Chicago. They asked about two recent legal decisions.
Okay.
On one side, Harvard University got back $2.6 billion in frozen research funds.
Right.
And then separately, an appeals court ruled most of the Trump-era tariffs were unconstitutional. Now, these seem like totally separate things.
Yeah, on the surface.
But what does the source material suggest they tell us about the bigger systems at play?
Well, it's interesting. The briefing sort of frames these rulings as highlighting some really deep cracks, you could say, within American institutions.
Cracks? How so?
Okay, so take the tariffs. They were originally meant to tackle, you know, decades of trade imbalances.
Right, the idea of restoring some national economic focus.
Exactly. But the appeals court striking them down. The source presents this as maybe resistance from certain established interests.
Interests that prefer things the way they were, like more global integration.
The briefing implies that, yeah, interests perhaps favoring global economic structures over specific national economic policies.
Okay. And Harvard?
Well, the Harvard case, according to critics cited in the source, it raises concerns about foreign influence.
Foreign influence.
Specifically, the source mentions concerns about potential CCP involvement, Chinese Communist Party, in research programs funded by the U.S. government happening within U.S. universities.
Wow.
Okay. So if you connect that to the bigger picture, the source suggests these aren't just, you know, dry legal interpretations.
Right. There's more underneath.
Yeah. They're presented as revealing how these powerful entities, maybe in academia or the judiciary, can push back against reforms aimed at strengthening, say, national sovereignty or independence.
So a kind of tension between institutions meant to serve the public and agendas that might not align with national interests.
That's how the material frames it. It suggests this tension exists where institutions are sometimes seen as facilitating agendas potentially undermining national interests.
And the implication?
The implication in the briefing is that bringing these tensions out into the open, well, it actually speeds up the demand for more accountability.
Transparency.
Transparency, exactly. And a shift towards what the source calls truth-based governance and national strength that kind of forces the issue.
That's a really compelling way to look at those cases.
Yeah.
Okay, let's shift from legal stuff to finance.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is from Austin. This listener points out gold soaring past $3,500 an ounce, and also this wave of corporate bankruptcies.
Yes. Seeing a lot of that.
Is this just the usual ups and downs, the boom-bust cycle we've seen before? Or does the briefing suggest something, you know, more profound is going on?
That's a really important question. And while, yeah, you could see them as typical financial cycles,
right,
the briefing suggests they're actually signaling something deeper, like the unraveling of these debt-based economies.
Debt-based economies.
Right.
And it mentions fiat illusions. What's that about?
Right. Fiat illusions. So fiat currency. That's the money issued by governments, like the dollar or the euro, not backed by gold or silver, right? Its value comes from trust in the government.
Got it.
The source suggests that trust, or maybe the system itself, is fraying. It highlights central banks kind of quietly buying up gold.
While corporations are struggling.
Exactly. Corporations stretch too thin, collapsing under debt loads that just aren't sustainable anymore.
So for you listening, the message isn't panic.
No, not at all. The material definitely frames it more as preparation, awareness.
Okay.
The briefing talks about a financial reset being already underway, driven by the failure of the old economic models.
A reset involving what?
It suggests this slow shift away from fiat currencies towards things with more tangible, resilient value.
Which is why gold is up.
That's the connection the source makes, yeah. Gold, silver, even certain decentralized digital assets. They're gaining ground in this view.
So the core message
The
is.
core message seems to be that these financial shapes are symbols of the collapse of what it calls illusionary wealth.
Illusionary wealth.
Yeah, and it's kind of urging us, you, the listener, to think about grounding value in tangible things, assets, community strength, conscious choices.
Really makes you think about what value actually means.
Yeah.
Okay, dramatic shift now from finance to nature.
Big shift.
We have a listener in Tokyo who mentioned the disruption from Typhoon Peipa in Japan.
Yes, quite severe.
And at the same time, these powerful solar flares, cannibal CMEs causing auroras everywhere. Can you just quickly explain CMEs?
Sure. CMEs are coronal mass ejections, basically huge bursts of plasma and magnetic field erupting from the sun's outer atmosphere, the corona.
Right, so big solar events. What's the connection the source draws between the typhoon and these solar events? Are they just unrelated natural phenomena?
Well, the material actually frames them as deeply interconnected.
Really?
It suggests they reflect both shifts in Earth's climate patterns and the sun's ramped-up activity cycle. We're heading towards the peak of solar cycle 25, so more activity is expected.
Okay, scientifically that makes sense, but is there more to it in the briefing?
There is. It gets quite interesting. The briefing references some spiritual traditions
Oh.
that view these intense solar surges as actually catalysts for consciousness.
Catalyst for consciousness.
Yeah, the idea being that the same energy that powers life here also affects our own electromagnetic fields, our subtle energy bodies.
Huh. And the extreme weather, like the typhoon.
That's seen in this context as mirroring humanity's imbalance with nature, kind of like the Earth reacting, urging us to rebuild our systems more harmoniously.
So connecting it all. Cosmic events, Earth events, it's suggesting our awakening isn't just mental.
Exactly. It's not abstract. The source implies it's embodied, it's planetary, it's energetic. These storms, whether they're literal storms outside or internal struggles,
Yeah.
they're described as pushing us to evolve, build resilience, and get more aligned with these natural rhythms. It's a potent reminder, the material suggests, that we're part of this huge living system.
Wow. That definitely puts daily life in a much larger
It
context.
does.
Okay, next question. This feels like a really big one for, well, for pretty much everyone right now. Information.
Ah, yes, the info landscape.
The listener in London brings this up. They mentioned the Financial Times reportedly admitting legacy media doesn't control the narrative anymore.
That's significant.
But then you also have apparently over 250 alternative outlets protesting censorship and suppression. So it's chaotic out there.
It really is.
How does the source suggest we figure out what's true in this environment? Who do we trust?
Well, this clash. The briefing describes it as having both opportunity and danger, right?
Okay.
On one hand, yeah, more open information flow can empower people searching for truth, absolutely.
But the downside.
The downside is noise, distortion, division. It gets really hard to sort through.
So trust isn't something we can just outsource anymore, give to an institution or a news source.
That's exactly the point the material makes. Trust can't be outsourced. From this awakening perspective the source talks about,
Yeah.
it means we have to cultivate discernment. Learning how to test claims, check multiple sources, and listen not just to our heads, but also our intuition.
Intellect and intuition.
Both. The goal isn't blind loyalty to any outlet, the source says. It's about conscious discernment, recognizing patterns, seeing truths maybe hidden beneath the headlines.
So the implication is pretty profound, actually.
It is the idea that with traditional gatekeepers losing their hold,
Yeah.
you, the individual, become the gatekeeper.
You are the gatekeeper now. That's quite a responsibility.
It is. Discernment becomes this crucial skill, almost like a currency, for navigating the information chaos. It means anchoring yourself in critical thinking and that inner sense of alignment. It's active.
Not passive consumption.
Definitely not.
That really ties into our final question, which comes from San Francisco. It's about RFK Jr.'s Senate testimony.
Yes, that generated a lot of reaction.
Exactly. It got praise for, challenging established views, but also heavy criticism for allegedly spreading misinformation. Mother Jones fact-checked him. Supporters said he was exposing regulatory capture.
Can you clarify regulatory capture quickly?
Sure. It's basically when a regulatory agency, which is supposed to protect the public interest, ends up promoting the interests of the industry it's meant to regulate.
Got it. Thanks.
So, why these extreme polarized reactions? What does the briefing suggest this whole situation reveals about where we are collectively?
This is where the source gets really insightful, I think. It describes this kind of clash as perfectly capturing our current moment.
How so?
It argues that trust in the old institutions, it's collapsed massively.
All right, we see that everywhere.
But we haven't yet figured out collectively how to build new frameworks for establishing what's true.
So we're kind of in between systems?
Exactly. The source calls it the messy middle.
The messy middle. I like that.
Yeah. Old authorities aren't automatically trusted, but the new ways of figuring things out together, discerning collectively, they're not fully formed yet.
Which leads to polarization. Yeah. Friction.
Intense polarization and friction, yes, but also the source frames it fundamentally as transformation. Society is struggling, learning how to balance open discussion with holding people accountable.
So the RFK Jr. example, it shows this awakening process isn't neat and tidy.
Not at all. The material suggests it's about moving past blind trust, past just sticking with your tribe,
right,
and pushing towards, hopefully, higher levels of discernment, better dialogue, and taking collective responsibility for finding truth. It's challenging, right, definitely, but the source implies it's a necessary part of how we evolve.
Okay, well, let's try and tie this all together then. Mm-hmm. We've looked at these five areas: legal shifts, financial drama, natural and cosmic events, the information battleground, and this intense public polarization.
Mm-hmm.
When you step back and look at all of them as presented in the briefing,
yeah,
what's the bigger picture? What does it all mean for us trying to navigate this?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, how these things that seem so separate, when you view them through this particular lens, this awakening lens from the briefing, they start to weave together into one story.
And that story is?
They all seem to point to the same underlying reality, a convergence. Breakdowns and breakthroughs happening at the same time.
Breakdowns of the old.
Exactly. The old systems, political, financial, environmental, informational, they're kind of unraveling under their own weight, their own contradictions, creates this feeling of flux, uncertainty.
But breakthroughs too.
But at the same time, the source suggests new seeds are being planted. Things like accountability, resilience, transparency, and maybe a rising collective consciousness.
So it's not about fearing the collapse.
The perspective offered is, no, don't fear it. See it maybe as the necessary clearing, making space for something new to be born.
And the invitation for us, the listeners.
The invitation, as the briefing puts it, is to actively connect these dots for yourself. Step into that personal discernment we talked about and consciously participate in shaping whatever comes next, our collective evolution.
That really reframes it. Seeing the potential for growth even when things feel chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
As we wrap up this deep dive, the source material also offered some powerful pointers, maybe, on how to align ourselves during these times.
It did. It laid out what it called key pillars for awakening, basically practical ways to navigate.
Like what?
Well, first, letting go of fear. It describes fear as this master key of control.
Okay.
And releasing it is framed as the first step towards sovereignty, towards freedom.
Makes sense. What else?
Also, practicing forgiveness and emotional clearing, you know, cutting ties with past baggage. Forgiveness is presented as dissolving old energy, restoring clarity, reclaiming your power.
Energetic clearing?
Yeah. And then things like meditation and transformational breathing, using your breath as a tool, basically,
yeah,
for inner alignment, expanding awareness, staying present.
Practical tools.
And finally, it encourages living with the heart of a volunteer, which sounds like leading with authenticity, service, love, embodying integrity and compassion.
Living those values.
Exactly.
There was a quote in the source that really stood out to me. You're either outside acting in the movie or going within to watch it consciously.
Mm. That's powerful.
So as you, our listener, reflect on this.
Yeah.
How does that resonate? Are you feeling caught up in the movie, pulled around by events and narratives? Or are you finding ways to observe, to engage consciously?
And maybe consider what the source calls your personal code of mindset.
Mm.
It mentions kindness, respect, accountability, responsibility.
Yeah.
It invites some honest questions. Are you observing your thoughts, or are your thoughts just running wild? Is your inner state, your vibration feeling aligned? Can you sense that connection to your higher self?
Yeah.
Guiding how you respond instead of just reacting.
It's a constant practice, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Remember, the path isn't just deciding once it's presented as a daily choice. Moment by moment, committing to awareness, sovereignty, alignment. So, as you go into your week, maybe think about how you'll consciously connect these seemingly separate events into your own understanding. And perhaps what's one actionable step you could take to embody these new systems the source talks about emerging?
A great question to sit with.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, keep asking questions, and keep connecting those dots.